All right, welcome everybody. It is Friday night, February 14th, 2020. We're in our series, Weapons of Spiritual Warfare, and tonight's topic is prayer. This is a live recording. All in favor, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And let's pray while we're talking about prayer. Father God, we thank you that your word says enough about prayer. And we thank you for the example of Jesus when he prayed and how he prayed and all of that. And we thank you, Lord, that you have set up this vehicle of prayer to communicate with you. We thank you that this has happened because we have access through the blood covenant of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for the body and blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And that because and on that ground, we can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace and favor in a timely way. We ask you, Lord, for the Spirit of grace, the Holy Spirit, to come and to open the eyes of our understanding, open the eyes of our hearts, Lord, that we might pray in the name of Jesus Christ, with the heart of the Holy Spirit and the mind of Christ in order to do your will, O God, and we give you the praise and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so let's start in on this. We've been talking about prayer just as a group, having little talks, but now this is right where we are in our Weapons of Spiritual Warfare series. So when God communicates to us, it is to us as whole persons. He speaks to the whole and heals the whole person. We too are to communicate to God with our whole selves. So I'm going to start out talking about body language and the language of the body in prayer. Every believer can enhance his or her times of communication and communion with the living God by shaping prayer with the language of the body. The first is on our faces. This position demonstrates deep humility. So, consider Jesus, quote, going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will, unquote. And that is from Matthew 26, verse 39. Jesus Christ, who is God, took the posture of humility, making himself nothing as the servant Savior. And you can read more about that in Philippians chapter 2. A second position of the body is on our knees. Bowing and kneeling are customary postures of deference before nobility or royalty. Philippians 2 verse 10 tells us that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Scripture tells us to kneel before the Lord our Maker because we are in the presence of majesty. Three, on our backs. This posture suggests wonder and willingness, the expectation of receiving, the vulnerability of defenselessness. It is a position of trust, of confidence that God will not harm. It is a position of openness and honesty. Number four, on our feet with arms up. This posture can fill us with a sensation of joy and praise. It's like, you know, that. Especially when we stretch our arms to the sky, lift up our heads, and open our eyes to the Lord of heaven and earth. Let's look at 1 Timothy 2, verse 8.
I desire, therefore, that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting.
Okay. Moses lifted his hands at the Red Sea as he cooperated with the miracle God was working. He held up his hands in battle against the Amalekites. And praying with hands in the air is a gesture of supplication, triumph. celebration and or praise. It's kind of a yes, our God reigns. The fifth position is walking about. In times of great battle and prayer, in times of deep reflection, we may stride about the room and pray out loud. But those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. That's Isaiah 40, verse 31. Walking about. Number six, heads lifted up. The call of the Father is look and live. Our heads bow under conviction and condemnation of sin, but as we see the Savior of our souls, as we experience the forgiveness of our sins, our heads are raised by God's grace. We look up. In fact, in praying for people, many times when a person first comes to this ministry, they cannot look up. They can't look up. They come and stand before me to be prayed for or something, and they will look down, and some may think that's what's expected, but others it is because of, you know, one thing or another, shame, feeling shame or whatever, but they can't look up. But after a while, there comes a time when they can either look straight ahead or they look up, and they can truly worship and, you know, raise their hands even and look up and live. Okay, so our heads are raised by God's grace. We look up, basking and receiving the grace, love, favor, and help we need as we gaze into the countenance of God. Number seven, arms outstretched. You might find yourself praying with your arms outstretched, as though imitating the position of Christ on the cross. That would be this. That would be horizontal. Arms outstretched this way, like Christ on the position of Christ on the cross. In this position, we begin to identify in small measure with the suffering of Jesus and the call of the Son, S-O-N, to come and die. Let's look at 2 Timothy 2, verse 11.
This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him.
Okay. If we died with him, we shall also live with him. So the call of Jesus is to come and die. Number eight, moving as the Holy Spirit leads. The call of the Holy Spirit is rise and reign. As we submit to the Holy Spirit as his prayer vessel, we learn to be sensitive and obedient to the Spirit, putting our whole body into our prayer. We may dance, I'll put that in quotes, we may dance in the Spirit in praise and worship. This dance is holy. It is not like the dancing of the secular world. It's a different kind of dancing totally, because it's holy. And many places today, the dance that I see happening is not holy. It's not. It's very sensual, earthy, sensual, and demonic. But there is a place where we move in the Spirit in praise and worship. We can run in the Spirit as light pursues and penetrates darkness. We may birth in the Spirit as God brings forth his works of righteousness. We might even travail in the Spirit as God brings repentance and lamentation over sin. We might war in the Spirit, and so forth. We're really warring in the Spirit. Our whole body is going to be part of that warring in the Spirit. So I encourage us all to be free, open, honest, submitted, and surrendered to the Holy Spirit. We pray to the Father through the Son, empowered by the Holy Spirit. So what are we? What are we? Well, we are yielded and dead to sin, vessels and bodies prepared by God to bring His will to earth from heaven. Some people call us containers for the Holy Spirit. We're containers. We're sanctuaries of the Holy Spirit. We are a temple of the Holy Spirit. I like these two verses because they're from Hebrews, and they, to me, they kind of are summary statements to help us. Henceforth to do your will, O God. And as you prepared a body for Jesus, so also prepare me as a body for Christ. Because Jesus said, a body you have prepared for me, I have come to do your will, O God. A body you have prepared for me, I have come to do your will, O God. And that's, and I like that because that really summarizes what's going on here. So, and we might pray, let us be a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit. All right, the next thing I want to talk about is appealing to God for His glory and our good. Because prayer is an appeal. Prayer, quite simply, is talking with God. We talk and He listens. He talks and we listen. It's a dialogue. It's a conversation. An appeal to a holy God. And many times it can be very formal, like in a courtroom. Like we're in a courtroom standing before a holy God, who is the judge of all the earth. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? We have to wrestle with that, just like Abraham did in Genesis chapter 18. When we are having a conversation or an appeal or a dialogue with God, it can be formal or informal, serious or gentle, one word or many, many words. As one of my seminary professors said, we don't always know the ins and outs of prayer, but we do know this. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. And I'll give you a little example just hot off the press because last night, I don't know what was going on, but anyway, suddenly Barry got out of the house. And Barry is a 16-year-old cat, male cat, and he's very gentle and everybody loves Barry. And Barry just decided to, I forget what I was doing, but anyway, I opened the door, I think just to go into the garage or something, and Barry just went, got outside, and I couldn't find the key. We have a gate, and it takes a different key, a separate key to open that gate, and so Barry was off, because Barry will, if Barry ever gets out, which is very rare, he will run back to try to get in, and if the door is closed, he just, okay, well, and you just don't see Barry. And but now he's 16 years old, so getting out now is very risky, very risky. So he got out, and then our daughter was having all this. They put on a talent show for the elementary school, and I don't know, let's just say one person at the school where they were supposed to have the talent show, not the elementary school, but another school nearby, was supposed to have the talent. I mean, it was all arranged, everything, and I call it the spoiler, and this person was just making undue demands, and then at the very, this is like it's next week, and so just a week before, it was no, you can't use your sound person, you have to use this other person. Well, the sound person they had has everything all worked out, and as you know, this is kind of like a little mini theater production. but it's little, you know, it's fifth grade and lower. I mean, you know, it's little kids, and even the teachers were doing something, and they had around 300 people show up to watch it. You know, I mean, it is, and these kids have been working really, really hard. And then this got into an issue. So we prayed about it. And I said, well, this is the spoiler, but I said, God is, this is a spoiler, but I said, God is the spoiler. It's in Isaiah. And I said, God is the spoiler. So we're going to pray that the spoiler comes and spoils the plans of someone trying to just, you know, what are they trying to do here? Ruin everything in these little kids, you know, because they had to, I don't know, they were undue demands. It couldn't have happened because they're talking too many kids, and it would have been a total flop, you know? So we prayed, and then Barry did come home, and we had prayed about one other thing, and that happened, so I told my daughter, said, well, we got 2 out of 3, and she wrote a wonderful email, you know, to her school principal, her kid's school principal of the elementary school, and in the morning, he took action, and all of a sudden, and everything was okay. You got your sound man, it was all turned around. It was all turned around. And so prayer changes things. So what looked absolutely, I don't know, I tend to get these calls when it's, you know, the dire, whatever, things are dire, D-I-R-E, but God, prayer changes things, and this was just happened last night and this morning, and you think, oh, well, why would God be interested in that? Well, he is. I found he's interested in small things. Small things, and also big things, like the time that God said, you make me too small. You know, like, change your prayer request. You make me too small. I went, okay, alrighty then. I think that was the expression at the time. Alrighty then. And I went in and revised my thing, and God did it. God did it. And so we don't want to make him too small. And we don't want to, also think that anything is that we ask is too small for God. I mean, how many times we probably all do this? We lose something, and oh God, help! You know, where is this? And many times I've asked God to send out an angel, a holy elect angel, to find this or that, you know, like, find Barry, where are you, Barry, and just all kinds of things. So prayer changes things. So we approach our Heavenly Father with an understanding that the blood of Jesus makes an atonement for us. We have to have that understanding very clear in our minds and in our hearts, and that's why I stress it so much. That's the foundation. That's the ground. That's the foundation. We have to have an understanding that the result of Jesus' obedient life, death, and resurrection has been to make it possible for us to enter the Holy of Holies. While we do enter his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise, now we come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Or you could translate that, or in a timely way. And that's the letters from Hebrews 4, verse 16. We need to understand Jesus is our advocate, a lawyer. Jesus is our advocate. He's our faithful high priest. He ever lives to make intercession on our behalf. Approaching our Heavenly Father as opposed to the other father, that is the devil, John 8:44, we come in recognition that we are the body of Christ. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are raised in Christ, the last Adam, bearing the image of the heavenly. We are children by adoption and clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. We stand by faith in the declaration that before God we are holy, blameless, and irreproachable from Colossians 1. Are we holy, blameless, and irreproachable or without reproach? No, but that's how God sees us, because we are clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And with that covering, it's the same as how God deals with us in deliverance and everything else. He builds the walls of salvation strong. He builds the walls strong. He builds the wall of the fiery wall of the Holy Spirit strong around us. And then inside, here we are, we may have our own strongholds that we have set up, of demons, sin, whatever. We have our own, inside those walls of the protection of God, God starts tearing down those strongholds, the things that are harming us, the things that are devouring, the things that are destroying, the things that are dividing. And so, so that those verses, like describing us, are really a declaration that we're holy, blameless, and without reproach. So they're like prophetic. Like God has said it, so, and it's already and not yet. So we're defined that way, and then in progressive sanctification, the Holy Spirit is doing this work in us so that we become what God has declared us to be. Jesus now sits at the right hand of the Father and is made unto us wisdom. All right, as we declare and confess the personhood of God as our righteousness, our peace, our sanctification, our provider, our shield and protector, our guide, our shepherd, our healer, the Most High God, captain of the hosts, our banner, the God of all grace, God only wise, Father of mercies, Father of lights, that God is life, love, and holy, we move easier to the position of necessary surrender to the mind, will, and heart of God. Because that's what it's going to be. And that's your voluntary. That we come and do. That's where it's leading. And we just line up. We have to line up with the Word of God. We have to line up with the mind, heart, and will of the living God, so that we too want His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And when we have that, all those promises, abide in me and I in you, you know, and as we do that, we can ask in Jesus' name, and He will give it to us. Why? Because it's what He wanted to do in the first place. And most of it is not about doing something that we want Him to do, like, get me that new car. I want that car right there, or whatever. It's about what He wants to do inside of us. We are being conformed to the moral image of Jesus Christ. That's what He wants to do. That's what we're talking about. And when we start praying for those things, everything else starts happening. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all this other stuff will be added. That's really what's going on. Through our acknowledgement of God's provision of our daily bread, through confession of sin, both commission, the things that we do that we weren't supposed to do, and omission, the things we were supposed to do and we didn't do. We didn't do them. We omitted them. And confessing and debt and releasing all others from our judgment. A lot of people forget how failing to forgive others hurts us. It hurts us. If we really had our best interests at heart, we would forgive others because that would amount to having it, everything go into God's courtroom and us not being turned over to the tormentors. So we do that. We need to see what's going on there. And through an appeal for deliverance from evil, we return to the praise of God's glory, power, and kingdom. So, basically when we pray, we're to begin and end with God. Our meeting with the Master means awe, reverence, and worship in spirit and in truth. A welcoming of the Holy Spirit and His power. An acknowledgement of the Lordship of Christ. That means, Lord, whoever is in control of your life, whatever is in control of your life, is your Lord, your true Lord, because you're giving that control of your life. That can be a substance, that can be an activity, whatever's in control of your life. And people say, oh, well, I could stop whatever that is at any time. Okay, well, then test that out. And I've had people try to test certain things out, and they can't. They'll even go the 3 weeks that it takes to change a habit, and they can't. They get up there and they just, I can't do it. Okay, well then, you really need the help of the Holy Spirit. You can't do it, but God can do it. Now, He's very creative in the way that He's going to do it. He can be very creative to bring changes that He wants made in our lives. I mean, truthfully. Oh, I can't live without that. Oh my gosh, it just broke. Well, I'm going to live without it now. You know, I thought I couldn't live without that. Well, there it is. Praise the Lord. It's gone. I don't know. God is very creative. Sometimes we have to just go, okay, I thought I couldn't live without that, but obviously I can. I will, with the help of God. This means that Jesus' name is above all names and every lesser power bows. It's an acknowledgement of Satan's defeat as an enemy. He is defeated. He is defeated. Not just death. The devil is defeated as an enemy. That as we bind the strong one over all that pertains to us, we come to plunder the goods stolen from us. That's from Matthew 16 and Matthew 12. But look what this is. We may bind, the binding is until somebody stronger comes along, and the one who is stronger that needs to come along is Jesus Christ. The strong one. The strength. And the Holy Spirit is paraclete, the comforter, because the word, it implies with that strength. And we need that strength to overcome. So we might be bound up by demons or by all this stuff, who knows. But we may be bound up. But Jesus comes and He can deliver us from that. He is the strong one. And He is the stronger one. And as we yield to that, but we have to realize the Holy Spirit is holy, and where He's taking us is on the highway of holiness. That's the road we're on. I think when we're first Christians, we don't catch on to that right away. What the agenda is, you know, what the plan, what we were really saved for. Unto good works, it says. The Lord's servant knows there is power in the name of Jesus and respects the fact, never taking the name as empty of power. That's what it means to take the name of Jesus in vain. do not take the name of the Lord in vain, meaning empty of power. There is a lot of power, and it's not just some song we sing. There is a lot of power. A lot of power. And God keeps us humble, and humiliates it. I mean, humiliates us. I'm not kidding. I'll be honest there. God humiliates us as a means to humble us and to make us realize that what he's given us of weapons and position in him and whatever, the blessings and whatever, it's just like Paul. What was Paul given to buffet him?
A thorn in his flesh.
Thorn in his flesh. We all know how much a little tiny thorn can hurt.
It wasn't deadly, but it was painful.
Right.
It wasn't.
Because like I'm kind of a Florida barefoot girl, so I've had thorns, you know, in my feet, and they can really hurt. It's amazing how some little tiny thorn, even in your finger, can hurt. So, like, you just keep, I've got to get that out of there to stop that. But Paul was given a thorn in his flesh to buffet him, to keep him, because why, does he say?
Well, that vision, right?
He had all these revelations from God. And so,
keep him from being puffed up.
Right. Keep him from being puffed up or getting high-minded over it. That's right. Okay. So asking in the name of Jesus brings the Father glory. Oh, and there's so many verses on that. Especially as we abide in Jesus and remain in his word. Understand our authority over all the power of the enemy. We don't have to bow to that thing. Whatever it is, we have Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth, and he delegates authority, and he will delegate more authority over different things as we are obedient, as we obey. I've seen in my own life. The response to obeying can be gaining more territory, the authority over this and over that, being drawn closer to the Lord, even, you know, in getting an audience with the Lord, with God, the ruler over everything, the Creator, Redeemer. Having an audience, like bow your head and you're there, and he will increase the scope of that authority, and what it's given for and when it's to be used. It's not for ourselves, but when it's to be used, that authority. I think if you ever watch any of the stories of like Law and Order or cop shows or whatever, they have jurisdiction in certain areas, right? Jurisdiction where the law speaks. And so it's people think, oh, well, I have all authority. Oh, I have all this authority. Okay, well, you better find out what your jurisdiction is.
Yeah, because the Manhattan district attorney doesn't prosecute cases in the Brooklyn district attorney's area. They have two separate judicial, even though they're all judicial, they're separate areas that they prosecute cases that happen in certain areas.
That's right.
Yeah. We have to battle with that on my business, where my office is. It's right on the border between Pompano and Deerfield Beach, and so there's always this deal over which police I am supposed to call them when something's going on. No, you have to call Deerfield Beach because you're in Deerfield Beach. But if I was on the other side of the street, you have to call Pompano Beach Police because that's Pompano.
Okay, well,
oh my gosh.
Okay, then I'm calling God. I'm talking to both of you, then. I want both of you.
Which side of the street you get attacked on, it's
oh
like
my
you have
goodness.
To figure out which one you're supposed
which
to call.
Which side of the street?
I mean, it's 911, but it's
well,
it's
just right there, too, right there at my Publix. North of McNabb is Pompano. South of McNabb is Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
That one street divides.
It goes down the middle.
Right.
So, it's yeah, it's kind of weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Just like that's right there at that
I mean,
corner.
If it's an emergency 911, then they get the right police department. But when it's not an emergency, I've got different phone numbers.
Yeah, non-emergency.
Non-emergency numbers. I have to know which one to call. Because their jurisdiction, that they won't, they're not going to go to the other side of the street. It's Pompano. It's, jurisdiction.
There you go. And
they have no jurisdiction over on that side.
Well, and years ago, they didn't have, I mean, in Bible times, they didn't really have boundaries. Joshua 14, that's what started, God started establishing boundaries. They just, you know.
So,
didn't have any specific boundaries. All right. And then we have to think about guarding the gift of the Holy Spirit. Guard the gift of the Holy Spirit. Pray in faith, believing. We have to pray in God's will and keep alert. All right. And then Jesus said, what I'm going to... this is how it's translated. It is in John 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. All right. However, this is my husband, Reverend Jim Craig's comprehensive version, because that's what he decided to call it when he... This is a very long version of that John 6, 63. And he called it the comprehensive version. And I have this in my office up on a, with a magnet on a filing cabinet. Okay? And here it is. So, the Holy Spirit is the life maker. The human nature does not assist the Spirit by providing any beneficial results whatsoever with regard to helping in the life-making process. All right, now that's on the part that says, it is the Spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing. But the Holy Spirit is the life-maker, because they're reversible in the Greek. The Spirit is the life maker or the life producer. The human nature does not assist the Spirit by providing any beneficial results whatsoever. That's the flesh profits nothing. With regard to helping in the life making process, the flesh profits nothing. So, if you think there was a choice, better think it through again. The flesh profits nothing. In contrast, the words which I have spoken to you, the abiding result of which is in you presently, is spirit and life in quality and character, able to be of beneficial assistance to the work of the Holy Spirit in effectually creating spirit quality and life quality in you, the believers, which is translated, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But getting into all that the Greek is saying, there is much more. This is the comprehensive version.
It's like the Amplified on steroids.
It is.
But his is more accurate.
Yeah. spirit and life in quality and character, able to be of beneficial assistance to the work of the Holy Spirit in effectually creating spirit quality and life quality in you, the believers. All right. So as we meet with the Master, we must come in an attitude of humility and humble reliance and full knowledge that our only boldness comes as a result of Christ's finished work. We yield to the will and word of God, the revelation of his soul, making ourselves available. We yield to his molding of us, placing our relationship with him primary. Whenever we make decisions all the time, and sometimes we have to make the decision, is this worth losing the anointing? Is this worth experiencing God's fatherly displeasure? Is this worth grieving the Holy Spirit, quenching the Holy Spirit, harming the relationship with the Holy Spirit? And some decisions, that's how we have to think. Is it worth it? Because I've been in places where the temptation amounted to 25 cents. And another time, $2. $2. And in different situations, over, you know, something at a garage sale, the first one, and the second one was over postage. And I said, just take the $2. I am not going to get in trouble with the Lord over $2. Well, you don't owe it, lady. I said, I counted all of this personally, and I owe you $2. And that was my count. I said, I'm paying the $2. You know, because whether he was right or I was right, it wasn't worth the fact that I may have been wrong and he was going to give me the $2. Do you know what I mean? For $2? And
well, I mean, but that's little. I mean, when,
okay,
when
and when
it's
my
a
father.
Big deal,
right.
It can be hard.
It can be hard. When my father had the stroke, I went into his office, which was a very large office, and he had all these. They were made out of ivory, made out of all this very costly antique stuff. You know, a lot of it before ivory was declared you couldn't do it anymore. Carved ivory, and just this stuff was very valuable. And I told him, I said, I'm getting rid of all of this stuff because I have to. You've got to get rid of this stuff. They're all like, you know, jade, all these things that were oriental, right? And I had checked it out, and it was the Mercy Goddess, and it was this thing, and, you know, and that thing, and whatever. And I said, just close your eyes and take it, and you'll live. You know, he would live. I knew that if I got that out. That was before, I mean, that was way back before I knew anything. And I just went like this, and I was throwing him in the trash thing because I thought, I'm not even going to sell it. I wasn't even going to sell it because that would put it in somebody else's place. So I just got rid of everything. I was just going through everything. And I cleaned house in there. And he was paralyzed, but, you know, I mean, he lived another 10 years. But I knew those things, and so that was costly. That was very costly. I didn't total up the cost because it was, I didn't want to know. But anyway, so yes, it can be costly. But after a while, the relationship with the Lord has to be primary. You have to really value it. It's really worth more than this stuff. Really, and I think that if we do that, God will provide. God will, what? He will take care of us, one way or the other. Okay, I should just. Do you want me to cut this off at this point or keep going? I'll finish the paragraph and then get. Okay. We express our adoration and gratitude, hearty reliance to Him. We meet to believe Jesus and see what He wants to do, and to see what He wants us to do. That's what Paul did on the road to Damascus. Saul, he says, "What do you want me to do?" Okay, we give the Holy Spirit perfect liberty in an attempt of open honesty before Him. We place our whole selves at His disposal in an attitude, like we said, of henceforth to do Your will, O God. We learn to hear God's voice, becoming familiar with His ways, just as any servant finds himself learning about the one served. Acquaintanceship, and here's the order, acquaintanceship becomes friendship. And mutual love develops as we learn to hear and to obey God's voice. So, and I think that's a lifelong developing, but it's as we learn to hear and to obey God's voice. The primary way that God speaks to us is through the written word of God. Just get a good translation. Just watch the translation you get. Or read, go online and get on things. They'll have it in a lot of different translations. And be sure you keep it in context. And you know, start out with a sweep read of a book and then outline it or find an outline. All these things are online now today. It's incredible. And then start going deeper and deeper until you get down into even what words mean. Okay, well, we'll stop there. We'll stop there with this. And we'll say, and everybody said, Amen.
Amen.